Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
I'm really, really excited about bringing the word today, and it's for so many reasons, because it's in our Christmas season. And if you don't know me well, you won't yet know that I love Christmas. I love Christmas so much that I begin preparing for it, wearing my Christmas shirts and getting into the Christmas spirit around August. So I feel like it's a good amount of time to get yourself ready for the season. I know that there are fellow people here, incredible people like Taya and Mum, who also do this and embrace the Christmas season for most of the year, which is just awesome. But I am really excited to bring a word this morning in this incredible Christmas season for a reason. And it's because I think it's a God setup. I started to prepare this message 6 days ago. And I have to be really frank, because we're actually really busy at the moment with, like you all are, with all of your Christmas events and school events and everything that happens in this season, I didn't read the run sheet for church this morning until the pre-service meeting. And so I didn't even discover, because I didn't read it fully, I just read the details I needed to know. I didn't even read what songs had been chosen to be part of our service today. And I love how God works, because I've had this word on my heart for a little while, but have just put it to paper in the last 6 days. And I love that God works in such a way that he speaks to our song leaders about choosing songs and having a word go out right from the very beginning, because obviously God's got something to say, right? And so I love that he prepares every element for us, like prepping a good Christmas dinner. Every single element. It's not complete without the ham. You know what I mean? But it's also not complete without the seafood salad. Amen. Right? Right? And you might think it's just a side dish. It's not a side dish without it. It's not complete. That's exactly what I love about the Holy Spirit, because that's exactly what happens in our services so many weeks, in which incredible worshipers prepare a moment for us to walk into the presence of God, and yet it actually perfectly matches a word that's been prepared by somebody else. I love how the Holy Spirit has an agenda, and he has an agenda for each and every one of us in this season. I just want to, before I launch into today's message, I just want to honor a couple of people, because it's a season of honor. That's what we do in this season, is we honor. And I want to honor two incredible couples in our church who this week, Graham and I got to be part of and witness two of the most amazing events in this house. So if you came out here through the week, it did not look like this. Your seat was not there, I know. But nobody sat in it, because it was elsewhere. Okay, I promise it's fine. But the auditorium was absolutely stunning. And so I would like to honor Henry and Colleen for the incredible job that they have done this year in seniors, and the most spectacular night the other night, in which you honored our seniors, not just from this house, but also from our community. And we saw many of our seniors come from the community out on Wednesday night, which was just an amazing night, an absolutely amazing night. And on Friday night, it was actually quite awe-inspiring to be in this auditorium with 145 young people at their youth formal here on Friday night, with, of course, all the incredible team with Frieda and Stu. So I'd like to honor you guys. Job well done to both of you, but job well done week in, week out, running the largest program in this house with a whole bunch of young people. You guys are just magnificent. Well done on an incredible 2019. Enjoy your rest, but we honor you guys, because it's just amazing. Just amazing. Well, before I launch into my message this morning and tell you the title, and you can get your notes out and everything and begin, I want to tell you just a little bit about my week. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my week, because obviously, like most of you, you've hit the season where every day and every night has something filling it. All right. So It's not even your preparation. You've got the school graduation and then the graduation dinner and then the speech night and then the award ceremony chapel, which I don't know why they didn't do that stuff at the award. Anyway, I'm not going there. But you've got all of those things and then you've got all of the Christmas functions. You've got the different sides of the families that get together or the different friend groups that get together to celebrate Christmas. You've got the work functions and the different ministry functions that happen within the life of the church. So if you were in every department, you're at everything. And so there is something every night. And Graham and I have just hit 3 weeks of something every day and night. Sometimes it's up to three or four things a day. And we had Thursday morning feature. So Wednesday night was our seniors' Christmas party. And we've been out every single night for 3 weeks with our children for different things. And Thursday was officially the first day of school holidays for all our children. And so Thursday morning didn't look like Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning was still get up early, prepare everything, school lunches, iron uniforms, dragging somebody out of bed to be able to head off to school. But Thursday morning was different. After weeks of multiple things per day, I let the children sleep. Now, for some of my children, that means nobody features until halfway through the day. And this was the kind of day it was. However, the battle in my home is that the first day of holidays, the Christmas holidays, has a specific plan for mum every year. It's the Santa photo day. Now, none of my children are excited about the Santa photo day, but I am super excited about the Santa photo day. And after weeks and weeks and weeks of prepping this outfit, getting out the door for this event and then the next one, and then maybe multiple outfits, multiple days for multiple events, on the first day of holidays, mum is getting them out of bed and getting them dressed up to go and have a photo with Santa. So what it looked like in my home on Thursday morning when this process was happening was trying to convince my eldest son that this practice will still happen for him for a very long time. That he has not outgrown it and that he will not outgrow it. And when he has his children, they will be in my photo with him. And when they have their children, he will still be in the photo with his children and his grandchildren, all for my mantelpiece. Okay? So it's a conversation with my eldest. It's getting my middle one to shower because school holidays for him equals no showers. Come on, you all have one like it, right? And so if we don't have to go to school, we wouldn't have to shower, would we? So it's convincing somebody to shower and get dressed up in Christmas gear. And then for my little one, it's negotiating on shoes and an outfit and hair and what way it will be done. It's like a battlefield to get an 8-year-old daughter dressed for a photo with Santa. And so all of this is done on the first day of school holidays, the first day of rest, and then I get them into the car on Thursday. And if you don't remember rightly, Thursday was hot. It was really, really hot. I own a black car. And my black car, when it's hot, has an attitude. And so when we got into the car, it decided to use the aircon function just as we got into Morayfield Shopping Center. So by the time we've got there, we're all dripping with sweat in our Christmas outfits for Santa. And then when we stepped out of the car, I'm thinking at least we're finally here and the battle is done. I'm going to get my gorgeous photo. We step out of the car and two of us burn ourselves on our own vehicle because of the heat of the car. Literally, we had to go and get cool things to soothe burns from our own car. And then we get up the top of the escalator and all of Morayfield is in Morayfield Shopping Center. Everybody. Clearly it was the only air-conditioned place on Thursday. And so We proceed to head to Santa Village to go and get our Santa photo taken. And we're standing in line, and I'm still convincing my eldest son that this is a good plan when nobody else in the line is over two. And they're all screaming when sitting on red velvet in every shot. And so each photo is taking so long because they're trying to get the shot that looks like a smile when it's actually a scream. So we're going through this process, and I'm thinking at that time just how chaotic this season is, but I'm still going to get my Santa photo. When just for a moment I listened to what was coming over the sound system in Warrifield Shopping Centre, and it's Hillsong's version of Joy to the World. And this is what I had a moment in Morayfield around Santa photos where I actually just discovered that this season is not the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most worshipful time of the year. All over the world, in establishments like this, God's House, and hundreds and thousands of other establishments that are not God's House, worship music is playing. It is a season of incredible worship, which brings me to my message today. And if you are a note taker, the title of my message this morning is "It's the Most Worshipful Time of the Year." It's the most wonderful time of the year, but sometimes the to-do lists feel endless, the preparation seems daunting, and the holidays can have a way of reminding us of our deepest disappointments. But what if we chose in this season to pause the busyness and to start discovering a deeper joy? What if we slowed down to embrace a pace of wonder in this season? We can. You can. But to experience the most wonderful time of the year, we've got to start making it the most worshipful time of the year. Because wonder and worship go hand in hand. It may not be easy. Maybe it's been a difficult year in 2019. Maybe you're actually experiencing the loss of a loved one, the loss of a dream, or the loss of what you thought your life would look like in this time and this season. Maybe you're in a season of waiting. Maybe 2019 has not been what you thought it might be. But your past experiences do not have to dictate your future expectations. When we worship, we're expressing awe and wonder at what God has done in this season for us. At this time of year, we all have a reason to worship, every single one of us. And it's not tied to our current circumstances. It's not tied to what has happened in your week this week. We have a reason to worship because of the gift that we've received through Jesus. Just look at what happens when three wise men hear about the birth of Jesus. We're going to jump straight into our text this morning, which is found in Matthew 2, verses 10 and 11. And I'm reading it from the Passion Translation this morning, and it says, "And when they, the wise men, saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. When they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they were overcome. Falling to the ground at his feet, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure boxes full of gifts and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh." For hundreds and hundreds of years, people had been waiting on God to fulfill his promise to send a savior. And Christmas is one of the best reminders that God keeps his promises. He sent Jesus as the ultimate gift to show that God wants to be with us. The wise men celebrated with unrestrained joy. They were overcome. They fell to their feet and did the only thing that you can do when faced with that much wonder. They worshipped. This Christmas, instead of focusing on all that you need to do, let's worship God for what he has done for you. Instead of focusing on all that you lack in this season, let's focus on God's abundant love that is still pouring out today for each and every one of us. Let's slow the pace down in this season to a pace of wonder
We do that by worshiping God and thanking him for the gift of Jesus in this season. So over the next few moments, I want to unpack a little more just about this particular part of the Christmas story, the three wise men. And I want to unpack this for a reason, because their response to the news that a child would be born had very specific it had a very specific story and message for each and every one of us to explain who Jesus is for each and every one of us. Their story gives us a practical way to reclaim the joy of Christmas and to restore our sense of wonder and worship for Jesus. So point one this morning is this: worship Jesus for who he is, our King. If you've ever struggled to, I wanted to ask first, have you ever struggled to find the perfect gift for someone? Who is doing that this year? Struggling to find the perfect gift, that perfect gift for someone that you love. You want it to be meaningful to them so that they see how meaningful they are to you. The wise men gave gifts to Jesus that at face value seemed a little odd, but that actually paint a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. They brought him gold, frankincense and myrrh. And it's easy to let these things go by without paying attention to what they actually are and the significance behind these gifts, so that it can help us center our hearts this Christmas season into who Jesus is and understand and appreciate the gift we've been given in Jesus. So together these gifts show us who Jesus is, a God who is sovereign but willing to suffer to save us. And so I want to just unpack really quickly this morning the three gifts that the wise men gave. And the reason I would love to do this is because presents and gifts are just a huge part of this season. So many of us stress about that. We stress about the perfect gift or the amount of gifts or the lack of finance to pay for the gifts. And yet I want to have a little look at this, because what I love about the three wise men is their response to the awe and wonder of Jesus' coming was to worship and to give. And so there's something to unpack here in our worship and in what we give and why we give it through this incredible story. So the very first gift that the wise men gave is gold. There are a lot of reasons the wise men would have chosen to bring gold as a gift to Jesus. For one, gold is something that you give a king, particularly in that era. That was only befitting for royalty, gold. But think about the faith they would have had to give gold to a child. Everyone was expecting God to send a king. In fact, people in Jesus' day wanted someone to rule their country, not their hearts. Instead, God sent a child who would grow up, teach us how to live, and die in our place for our sins. So a child wasn't exactly the plan for what anyone was expecting would come when they wanted a Messiah or a Savior. And yet the wise men still presented gold, showing that Jesus is our King and worthy of praise, sacrifice, and honor. Gold is so significant that in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Kings, we see how Solomon used gold when he built the temple of God. There are very specific instructions he had for building this temple, because it was a place where the presence of God resided. And inside the temple, there were different areas. And for those of you who've studied this, you'll know this, but the innermost area was known as the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And in that place, the priests could enter the presence of God and make a sacrifice on behalf of the people. And the walls and the altar within the holy place were all made of gold. So when the wise men gave Jesus gold, it foretold that Jesus would make the ultimate sacrifice for us by dying on the cross and raising from the dead 3 days later, so that we could have relationship with God. Now, while the wise men gave Jesus gold, Jesus gave us the gift that is so far more precious. The wise men weren't buying their way to God. No human, no matter how seemingly important or well off, can afford that. Jesus himself willingly paid the price we could never pay to pave a way for personal relationship between us and God. The wise men gave Jesus gold, but Jesus gave them a connection to God, us a connection to God. The only reasonable response for the wise men was to give what they had as an extravagant act of worship to Jesus. Would we follow their example in this season with an extravagant gift back to God? Would we respond with worship in this season as the response of our heart in the awe and wonder of what this season brings and represents? Would it also be our response? In a season that can often be associated with hurry, let's pause to remember how holy and awe-inspiring it is that God would send Jesus to be with us. Which brings me to point number two. We need to worship Jesus for what he is doing, current day, present, what he is doing. I love the song we sung this morning where we proclaimed he is good today. That's a now, that's a present. Regardless of what your week has been, regardless of your circumstances, you are proclaiming God is good today. Worship Jesus for what he is doing, our healer. The next gift that the wise men brought to Jesus is frankincense. Frankincense is actually a sap. Yes, frankincense is a dried sap from trees, specifically trees that grow in and around the southern end of the Arabian Peninsula. First, a special knife pierces the wood in a Boswellia sacra tree where the sap begins to seep out. This first sap is not collected. It simply cleanses impurities. Later, more cuts are made deeply to release a refined liquid. As the sap dries, it creates what is referred to in the industry as a tear. And these tears are then collected off the tree, crushed into pieces, and sold as frankincense. The frankincense delivered to Jesus would have traveled likely by a camel across the Arabian desert, and foretold in Isaiah 60 verse 6 of what Jesus's future story for us would be. At a time it would have been worth more than its weight in gold, but it's in its purpose and function of this gift that we really start to see its value. Frankincense was most often burned as a type of incense. Actually, the history of the word itself points to something that is called purity or high quality incense. Throughout the whole Old Testament history, it is this pure incense was used by priests in the temple as part of ritual worship and sacrifice made to God to cover sins. It is also used regularly across the ancient world as a healing agent. Recent scientific research suggests frankincense still has healing powers, especially in certain cancers. When interviewed by the BBC, immunologist Mohamed Suhela, who is actually the leading cancer doctor in the world, explained cancer starts when the DNA code within the cell's nucleus becomes corrupted. It seems that frankincense has a reset function to the DNA. It can tell the cell what the right DNA code should be. Why did the wise men bring the gift of frankincense to young Jesus? Whether they knew it or not, they brought perhaps the only substance that could tell the story of Jesus foretold in Isaiah 53 verse 5. It's on the screens in the NIV version. It says, "He was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed." Jesus did this and does this today for each and every one of us. Just like part of the Boswellia sacra tree is crushed to create frankincense, Jesus was crushed so that he could become our healing agent. The ultimate priest who offered his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for our sin and who still goes to God on our behalf. He is the reset function that makes everything right. He is our peace, our healer. Which brings me to point number three. We should worship Jesus for what he has done. Celebrate him for what he has done, our Savior. What's the best gift you've ever been given? Have a think about that for just a moment. Maybe it was just a thoughtful, well-timed gift that someone you love surprised you with. Maybe it was a gift that costs more than you think that you deserve. Maybe it was something you never knew you wanted. Even though we can never deserve it or earn it, Jesus made a huge sacrifice just for us. While we were yet sinners, knowing our mistakes, and before we could ever love him back, Jesus chose to die for us so that we could choose to have a relationship with God. That fact alone should fill us with the wonder and gratitude and bring us to worship in this season. And like the wise men, it should cause us to fall on our knees before our Savior in awe and wonder and bring gifts to him like he has done to us. As they worshiped Jesus, the wise men gave the final gift of myrrh. Myrrh has many different uses, but was mostly associated with suffering and death. Myrrh was used as an anointing oil in the Old Testament to prepare the temple and priests or leaders. It was also used in the New Testament as an embalming oil and was specifically used as a medicine that eased suffering for people committed to be crucified. Just like the other gifts, myrrh foretold who Jesus would be, the anointed one. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, to heal us, and to set us free. A suffering one. Jesus didn't drink the myrrh to ease his torment on the cross. He was offered it. For those of you who know the story, he was offered it, but he took the full weight of our sins and took on all of the pain and the suffering for us. And throughout his ministry, we see Jesus serving us this way. And the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, his life for our lives. He suffered and paid for sins he'd never committed. As you think about all that Jesus did and accomplished through his ministry on earth, let yourself be led to worship and to wonder in this season. That worship can look like a lot of different things. Maybe it's showing Jesus' gratitude by praising him for who he is. Maybe it's extending Christ-like grace to others and love to one another. Maybe it's forgiving somebody, forgiving others like he forgave you. Worship is something the wise men modeled for us, and that's still completely relevant for us today. The Christmas season gets just so busy, and there are so many moving parts, events, and things to do. But like the wise men, may we remember to honor the gift Jesus gave us. May we never get so busy or distracted that we forget to remember the one we're actually celebrating and the best gift we've ever been given. Finally, as the band comes this morning, I want to encourage each and every one of us to worship with wonder. Worship with wonder. For hundreds of years, people waited for Jesus. So this Christmas, if you find yourself in a season of waiting, you're not alone. And waiting can be a powerful reminder of the one we worship, because he fulfills his promises and he came. And he came for you. God could have saved us in a second, but he chose to send us a child, someone who would come to live amongst us, suffer amongst us, and die for us as the perfect gift we could never earn or deserve. Sometimes we can find ourselves so busy in the holiday season doing things for God that we forget his gift is to be with us, to spend time with us. Each and every one of our resentment builds because we're doing the right things, but we're doing it for the wrong reasons or with the wrong heart. And it's all too easy for us to forget that the gift of Jesus isn't about our effort, but about God and his grace. This Christmas, we don't have to hustle through the holidays. We don't have to rush everywhere. We can pause. We can slow it down to a pace of wonder. And remember this gift of grace that we've been given. This gift means you can stop striving, stop stressing, stop trying to earn your way to God or into family or friends' hearts through everything you've got to do over this season. And instead, receive what Jesus did when he came for you. The wise men didn't present gifts to win their way to God. The gifts weren't offered with an agenda or an expectation of blessing. Instead, they were presented as gifts of overflow of worship and an extension of their wonder. May we follow their lead. May we not offer our obedience out of obligation, but as an overflow out of our passion for Jesus, who came to give us such an incredible gift, the ultimate gift. The gifts the wise men offered are a source of hope for each and every one of us today, because they remind us of who we worship, a God who would send his son as our king, our healer, and our savior. So let's stop hurrying through the holidays and let's start to embrace a pace of wonder and worship as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ in this season. Finally, as we just move into a time of reflection and ministry this morning, I keep on my phone every year, I switch my wallpaper over to an incredible image that I saw years ago on Pinterest, and it's always on social media. You're bound to see it on Facebook or Instagram. But I love this statement, and it's, wise men still seek him. Do you know the wise men were a part of the Christmas story for a reason? It's because it's actually a challenge to each and every one of us today, particularly in this season. It's not just for this season, but particularly for this season. Would our response at a Savior, would our response of the hope of the world, would our response to the gift that Jesus gave us be to seek him? I love the statement, wise men still seek him. Would we each choose to be wise men in this season? And when I was pondering on this statement, wise men still seek him, it's not just the seeking out the incredible Savior. They didn't come empty-handed. When they came to seek him and to worship him, which is what I'm going to commission us as a church in this season to do, is to seek him and to worship him first in this season. But can I ask and challenge each and every one of us to not come empty-handed? The wise men came to worship, and they, out of the response of overflow of their worship, they had to bring gifts. And so I was thinking about this because I love gifts. I absolutely love gifts. Gifts is the top of my love language. Everybody knows that now, so you all can get in on the party. It's awesome. But I was thinking about this because we call it Christmas, but for each and every one of us, there is a special day every year that we celebrate. We should make sure everybody in our world celebrates, and that's our birthday. And there's a couple of key things around a birthday and a birthday celebration that are never missing. There is always gifts. There is always song. It's a great song. And I love that we have that opportunity in this Christmas season to bring gifts to our Savior. For so many of us, I don't know about you, but I was challenged this year for the very first time. I'm 38 years old, and I have known Jesus my whole life. And I was challenged for the very first time to switch my perspective for this Christmas season from not just what he had gifted me, but how could I gift him? Because I never show up to a birthday party without a present for the person who is celebrating their birthday. And so it made me think, what would Jesus love for his birthday? Now, you could get all technical on if it is actually his birthday. No, it's not. It's somewhere between April and September. We know that theologically, that's where it fell somewhere. Nobody knows the exact date, but we take this time. Don't get hung up on the distraction of those things. We're taking a time to honor, and it's never the wrong time to take time to honor. And so I was thinking about this because I love to always bring the perfect gift. I love to bring something meaningful that the person will actually love and enjoy and make them feel really meaningful. And so when I was thinking about what Jesus would love for his birthday, it's all found right here in the Christmas story. And it's not necessarily found in what the wise men brought. It's found in the gift he gave us. Our response of worship is a gift to God for his birthday. Would you worship him in this Christmas season? He came to forgive. Would you extend the same thing this season? I imagine, I said this in the 8:30 service, and my head has sort of been blown this week as I thought about it. What if Christians, just Christians, all over the world this Christmas season chose to forgive as a gift to God? Imagine what would happen in the heart of God. And then I thought of a final gift, because I thought about one of the most special parts of a birthday. And I don't know what's the most special part of a birthday to you, but I find one of the most special things about a birthday is being invited to it. You feel incredibly valued. You feel loved. You feel connected and involved and engaged with somebody. You feel important to that person. And I thought about it because Jesus didn't come for just you and I. Jesus came that all men might know him. All men. And I wonder what would happen in the heart of God if this Christmas season, each and every one of us gave him the gift of telling somebody else about him and extending an invitation to him. What would happen? Revival, for one. But it would, I would say that nothing would bring more joy to God than souls for Christmas this year. So I want to commission each and every one of us this morning, if you would be and take on that commissioning this year in this Christmas season, we're going to take a moment with the team right now to bring a gift of worship to our Savior. But I'm going to ask you, would you stand in worship if this season you're also going to choose to bring in the gift of forgiveness or the gift of souls? Would you be prepared to invite people into the kingdom of God this season? What an incredible gift we could give back.